Hey everybody, it's Mike from the Mike Wagner Show, powered by Sonic Web Studios and brought to you by our official sponsor of the Mike Wagner Show, Inrush Warring author Mia Moses, The Missing, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. We're here with a terrific lady who is an animal communicator and a healing expert and consults with people, animal rescue sanctuaries worldwide, and how to save, heal, and also treat their own animals, as well as some trust, and also saving, rehabbing, and commuting with animals since as a child at six. Began her work at 7, working with baby birds, and 11, she began working with families, solving behavior and training issues with all kinds of pets, and also founder of Rover Rescue, and also the Gentle Barn, a not-for-profit organization, and also a book called My Gentle Barn, and also being the animal matchmaker. And how she does it, we'll find out in just 1 minute. Live, ladies and gentlemen, plus studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles, the multi-talented animal communicator, healing expert, and author of the book, My Gentle Barn, Creating a Sanctuary Where Animals Heal and Children Learn to Hope, and also Be the Animal Matchmaker. And talking about the Gentle Barn, ladies and gentlemen, the multi-talented Ellie Locks. Ellie, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on board as well, too. So you're an animal communicator and healing expert, consulting with people, animal rescues and sanctuaries worldwide, how to save, heal, and treat their own animals. You also are into saving, rehabbing, and communicating with animals. You've been doing this as a child at 6. You began your work at 7 with working and healing baby birds. And 11, you began working with families, solving behavior and training issues with dogs. And you're the founder of Rover Rescue, which is dogs and cats away from high-kill shelters, and also the founder of Gentle Barn, which is a national not-for-profit animal rescue and sanctuary, 3 locations in the U.S., and you serve as animal matchmaker, rescue, training, finding perfect homes for the animals, advice, and owning a pet, and you also have a book called My Gentle Barn, and you are the animal matchmaker. And how do you do it? We'll find out. Before getting all that, Ellie, tell us how you first got started.
Well, I think I was born an animal lover. I think that I could hear the animals around me asking for help or letting me know how they're feeling. Mm-hmm. I think that I felt way more comfortable around animals than I sometimes did around the people around me. Because the people around me as a child didn't see animals the way that I did, but I always saw animals as my best teachers, healers, and friends. I wanted to be with them in the lakes and the woods. I wanted to be with them when I went to other people's houses. And they told me things, how they were doing, what they wanted, and what they needed. And I think that this gift serves as both a gift and a curse. Of course, in my line of work, founder of the Gentle Barn, rescuing animals, it's a real big gift. But it also served as a curse somewhat when I was younger, because the animals would share their needs, wants, and feelings with me. And then, of course, I was compelled to share what they were saying with their people. Some of the people wanted to listen and some of the people didn't. Mm. And so sometimes it was awkward to try to be their interpreter with people that didn't really want to listen. And I think that that's one of the things that inspired me to start the Gentle Barn and dream about it since I was 7. Because I really wanted to show the world how beautiful these animals are. And I wanted to show the world these animals through my eyes, what they're saying, their different personalities, their intelligence, their affection, the relationships they have to each other, and the lessons that they have for us. Mm. And it took me a really long time. But because of finding some severely abused and neglected animals at a petting zoo, I brought them home to my half-acre backyard. And before I realized it, I knew that I had started my dream.
Wow.
The Gentle Barn went on to become a national organization. Like you said, we're located in Los Angeles, California, Nashville, Tennessee, and St. Louis, Missouri. We have collectively over 3 locations, about 200 rescued animals. Wow. And we specifically take in animals that are not adoptable, animals that are too old, too sick, too lame, or too scared to find homes. We give them a home with us. We rehabilitate them through a whole slew of veterinary and alternative methods. And then when they're finally happy and healthy, we partner with them to heal people with the same stories of trauma and connect people to the love and magic of animals.
Hmm. That is really interesting. And one question that popped up, it's like you saw the animals at a petting zoo and rescue and everything. What was it one moment? And how did you notice that the petting zoo, the pets in there were pretty much, abused, traumatized and everything? Like, if they figure a petting zoo, it's like it'd be a place for comfort. But you saw it different, though. Why a petting zoo?
Well, I went in there just to be curious. I had never seen it before, and I drove by on an errand. and it smelled funny and it was full of people. And I knew that there were animals there. And so just kind of nosy and curious, I parked and went in. And what I saw there was absolutely horrific. The goats and sheep had toenails 2 inches long and trouble walking. Ooh. They were beating the ponies to keep going around carrying kids without a break. And there was no water on the property, even though it was well over 100 degrees. Wow. And the whole sight made me sick. But I think the worst part about that place is the animals were in such deplorable condition, but the place was full of people and not one of them could see the suffering right in front of them. And I had to get out of there. And running for the door, there was a very old and sick goat that was blocking the exit. And she looked me in the eyes, stopped me in my tracks, and asked me for help. To make a really long story short, and of course, the longer, richer, fuller version of this is written in my first book, My Gentle Barn, Creating a Sanctuary Where Animals Heal and Children Learn to Hope. But to make the story short, I ended up taking that goat home, healing her with the help of a veterinarian, going back for more animals at the petting zoo. And then one day I looked out to my backyard that was full of animals and realized I had started my dream. Of course, yeah. And then word spread, you know, people who were homeless with animals, people that couldn't keep their animals, animals that were being abused, people started calling, and little by little, we worked our way up to 200 animals. Wow. My husband and CEO and co-founder of the Gentle Barn, he actually came in as a volunteer 22 years ago. And we ended up falling in love a year later and joining forces, and he really helped make our mission even bigger.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to start your own petting zoo. That was kind of like, you know, thinking, are you really starting your own petting zoo?
Well, the Gentle Barn is a petting zoo with a twist. A petting zoo has a negative connotation because you're using the animals to make a profit. Of course, that's not us, but we are partnering with the animals when they're ready so that people can come in and hug the cows, cuddle the turkeys, give the pigs tummy rubs, hold the chickens, pet the goats and sheep, hear their stories of resilience, and become aware of what these animals go through and choose to be more empathetic and gentle in their daily habits to protect animals.
That's interesting. And of course, you thought about talking to the animals. It made me think of Dr. Doolittle right away, but you take it to the next level.
Well, I kind of feel like Dr. Doolittle sometimes. Since a child, I've had the gift of really being able to hear and understand animals. And of course, since then, I've created my own website where I have clients all over the world that I can help them with behavioral issues, health issues. I can talk to animals that are in their bodies or animals that have passed. I can relay messages and memories from the animals to the people, and I can create much, much deeper relationships between the people and animals, which, you know, at the end of the day is why I'm here.
Mm-hmm. And what language do you use when it comes to, when you're talking to animals? It's like, a certain language, like dog language, cat language, bird language, cow language, or anything like that. It's like, you know, what's like the words, phrases, or senses, I'm trying to think of that word that's not in there, that you would just like communicate, so you're having a back and forth. It's like, I can't think of the word right now, but I think you get what I'm saying.
Well, it's intuition.
That's it, intuition.
Yeah. So I close my eyes and I meditate, getting aware of the sensations in my own body so I don't project them onto the animal. I kind of clear my mind and get into a very neutral, calm space. Then I connect with the animal using a picture and their name. And I ask questions and I wait for the answers to come. And the answers come much like my own thoughts.
Oh, wow.
It's like I'm thinking the thoughts, but everything that I'm thinking, I write down. And everything I write down, I relay to the person. And then the people validate, like, yes, that's exactly my animal. And yes, we do that. And that's their favorite thing. And I can ask them questions. And
That's interesting. And what are some more common questions that you ask animals? What are some more common answers that you get from animals?
Well, to start off the conversation, I can't just say, hi, my name is Ellie. I heard you have cancer, right? Or I heard you've gone through some trauma. I wouldn't do that with a person. I'm not going to do that with animals. So the conversation really starts with me chit-chatting and getting to know them as if I would a person, right? When you meet someone, oh, well, tell me about yourself. Are you married? Do you have kids? Where do you live? What's your favorite things? So I kind of do that with animals. I ask them what are their favorite things to get them started.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they love it. You know, they say, oh, my favorite thing is climbing that tree or going to the lake or swimming or ice cream cones or sleeping in bed with my people. And they get more excited because they're sharing all their favorite things and we're forming a connection. And then once they feel comfortable with me and we feel connected because we're kind of really talking, then I can start moving on to more intimate, more vulnerable questions like, you know, show me your body and my body so that I know in my body what you're feeling in yours. And we can kind of go over health issues or, hey, tell me about what you feel towards the other dog you live with. And we can talk about behavioral issues. I literally today, just before this podcast, talked to a cat that was peeing outside the litter box. And
oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so the cat said that she's the baby of the family. She wants to be held and kissed and cuddled. And there are situations going on in the household where the mom is more tired and the people are more busy. And the cat feels left out. And the cat kept saying, I used to be the center of the household and now I'm on the sidelines and I don't want this. I want to be in the middle. I want to be cherished and loved. And it turns out that the woman is pregnant and having a baby. And so she's tired a lot of the times. And they're starting to have the cat sleep outside the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And this cat is really upset about it. He's upset about the changes that are happening. And so he's acting out. And I was able to ask him, what do you want and need to feel whole again? And he said, I want to be held by my people. I want them to kiss me. I want them to talk to me. I want to know that I am their precious baby again. And so me and this woman talked about talking to him more and including him more and setting a time every day for like more of a snuggle ritual so that this cat can feel a little bit more wanted, more needed, and more important. And then he could stop acting out.
That is rather interesting. I never thought about that. We learned a whole new level on cats and everything. What are some most unusual quests and unusual answers? And what's the most unusual situation you encounter as a pet? It can be dog, cat, bird, cow, or even a lizard or so.
Oh, God. I have had so many incredible readings. I talked to a bear and he showed me licking very, very sticky stuff off his paws. And I didn't know what he was saying. And then when I talked to the people, they were like, yeah, he's obsessed with peanut butter. So, so he'll take big scoops of peanut butter and lick it off his paws.
Peanut butter. I like that. I'm sure Yogi would be impressed.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
You
know, I talked to a dog once who was ripped away from his mom at a very, very young and tender age. And he was so traumatized by being without her and going through the trauma of growing up in multiple different homes that he actually said he didn't want to live anymore. He said that he wanted to find peace and he didn't believe that he ever could find that peace with humans. And that was a really sad and painful situation. And because of his pain and struggle, he had actually developed brain cancer that I later learned. And in a few weeks, he really did get his wish and they helped him out of his body so he could find peace. But, you know, what I really learned is these animals have the same emotions, needs, and wants and personalities that we do. Some are extroverts, some are introverts, some love to talk a mile a minute. Some are very quiet and you've got to ask a lot of questions to pull information out of them. Some are jealous. Some are very generous. Some are teachers and want to tell their people that they need to meditate more and get off their phone. And some of them just want to be active animals and they say, you know, come on, let's go hiking. Let's go throw a ball around. I think the most unusual story that I've ever had was I talked to a cat. And when I talk to animals, I get their picture, their name, their gender, their age, how long the people have had them and who they live with. That's it. There's no other information that I get.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this lovely chat with this beautiful cat that had passed away. And the cat in the reading told me that she was murdered and she showed me how.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And ended up when I called her mom, ended up verifying that that was indeed true. And the only message that she kept repeating over and over and over again for her mom was she has to forgive him. She has to forgive him. There are secrets of the universe that we'll never understand, and she needs to move on with her life. And that session, I think, was very helpful for her mom.
Wow, I guess that takes nine lives to a whole new meeting. I was thinking about that. Nine lives, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And of course, you having a gentle barn as well, too. Natalie, you're the founder of Rover Rescue and the Gentle Barn. You have a book called My Gentle Barn. And how gentle is a barn? We'll find out with Ellie Locks, the animal matchmaker. But first, listen to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios. Visit online at sonicwebstudios.com for all your needs. Look at a professional website without breaking your budget. Sonic Web Studios is the answer. Sonic Web Studios offers fast, affordable custom web designs that blow the competition away. Call today, 1-800-303-3960. It's 1-800-303-3960. Or email to support at sonicwebstudios.com. Mention Mike Wagner Show, get 20% off your first project. Sonic Web Studios, take your image to the next level. Also, time to give official shout out to our official sponsor of the Mike Wagner Show, international war ring author Mia Molson Zia. If you love fast-paced mysteries, you love Missing by Mia Molson Zia, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. Missing is fast-paced and intriguing with an unforgettable twist. Takes place in four countries, two strangers, one target, where truth is illusion and those who love be the first go missing. It's available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. Missing by Mia Molson Zia has garnered great reviews. And Eve 11 endorsed by Howard's celebrities, including Joanna Cassidy, Forbes Riley, Eminem. So grab your copy today for Girls Missing by Mia Molson Zia, available on Amazon. Also, check out The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com on 40 podcast platforms, heard in 100 countries, including Facebook, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, also Anchor FM, Odyssey, Apple Music. Also, subscribe on BitChute, Rumble, YouTube, and check us out on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Subscribe and follow us today. Make sure your ticket's with you on any mobile device for great gift ideas. 24/7, 365, pets, friends, loved ones. Go to Amazon.com. Check out The Mike Wagner Show podcast. T-shirts, pop sockets, throw pillows, tote bags, hoodies. Makes great gifts 24/7, 365. Family, friends, four-legged pets, loved ones. Go to Amazon.com. Check out The Mike Wagner Show podcast. And for more great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com/MiaMolsonZia for great books like Missing, Once, and Wrinkles. Also, T-shirts, pop sockets, hoodies, phone cases, and more. Amazon.com/MiaMolsonZia. Check it out today. And support The Mike Wagner Show on Anchor FM, PayPal, and TheMikeWagnerShow.com. We're here with animal communicator and healing expert and consultant Ellie Locks, author of My Gentle Barn, the founder of Gentle Barn and Rover Rescue on The Mike Wagner Show, also the animal matchmaker as well, too. And before we get to about, pairing animals, humans, matching up with other animals and everything, and we cover the Gentle Barn. You also founded the Rover Rescue as well, and tell us more about that.
So Rover Rescue was what I did before the Gentle Barn. I no longer have that organization, but before I started the Gentle Barn, I had an organization called the Rover Rescue, where I would go to every high kill shelter in a 60-mile radius in Los Angeles. And I established relationships with the volunteers that worked there. And so when I came in, the volunteers would let me know which animals were in the back intended to be euthanized. Mm. And I would take them home, whether they were young with parvo, old with arthritis, behavioral issues, abuse cases, it didn't matter. I would take them home, rehabilitate them, train them. And then I would have adoption days on the weekends where I would find really, really good homes for them. And what I realized when I was doing that is it's all about the match. If you adopt a dog out to a home where they are not compatible, that dog is going to come back. You are putting that dog at risk. You're making the people miserable, and you're just kind of working against yourself. So I realized that in order to have successful adoptions where the dogs live happily ever after in those homes, I needed to really make sure they were good matches. And that's when I became an animal matchmaker. Understanding the needs, wants, and lifestyle of the people, and then doing the same for the animals and making good matches. And sometimes I really annoyed people because there'd be people that would come into my adoptions and they worked 40 hours a week and they wanted a puppy. And I explained to them that that is never going to work.
40 hours on a puppy. I love that. It's like, it's like getting what, like about, send your kids off to a coffee place, give them a puppy, whatever it is, or something like that. I think I saw it all over Facebook. It just made me think of it.
Yeah. There's a sign in front of a store, I think it originated, where they said, if it all unattended children will be given an espresso and a puppy.
That's the one. Yes, that's the one. I could use an espresso with puppy as well, too. I've got a beagle boxer named Molly. She's 4 or 5 years old. She acts like a puppy at times, but yeah.
Yeah. So I remember this one time the volunteer came running over to me the minute I walked through the doors of the East Valley Animal Shelter, very high kill in those days. And she came over to me and said, there's an 11-year-old German Shepherd that was just owner surrendered because the woman has to go in for open heart surgery. And she had no friends or family to take the dog. And she said, we're going to euthanize the dog this afternoon. And I said, well, I'll take him. So the manager came and found me and said, I really don't think it's a good idea that you take this shepherd. She's old. She has arthritis. Let us euthanize her and you can take someone young and adoptable. And I said, you know what? I actually specialize in unadoptable dogs. And I would much, there's so many agencies that will take the young, socialized, healthy, adoptable dogs. I want the one dog that no one else will take. And so he finally relented and gave me the shepherd. And I brought her home, got to know her a little bit. She was a lovely dog. 3 days later, I had an adoption day in front of Petco. And this wonderful woman came in. She was a very fit and healthy 70-year-old. And she said, I want a dog companion. My children have moved away and my husband just passed away. I walk every day and I'm very healthy. But of course, because of my age, I don't want a young dog. I want an old dog that we can kind of be together at the same level.
Mm-hmm.
And I introduced her to this beautiful shepherd and they walked off into the sunset together and they lived happily ever after.
Oh my gosh, what a story. That's like a fairy tale right there, made in heaven. And of course, you know, going from the Rover Rescue and over to the Gentle Barn, and now you talked a bit more about it and what that's about. And of course, you have a book that goes with it too, is My Gentle Barn.
So Rover Rescue was wonderful and it was very rewarding. And I placed over 500 dogs in permanent homes, but I was very attracted to the ones that were not adoptable. And so I ended up getting more and more dogs that I could not place because of their age or their physical abilities or their emotional state. And by the time I finally healed them 2 years later, of course I couldn't place them. It would break their heart. So I ended up keeping them. And I realized that there was a very, very fine line between rescuer and hoarder. And I said, look, if I'm going to keep taking these non-placeable animals home and not place them, then I need to stop doing this. So I closed down Rover Rescue and I took care of the 30 cats and the 13 dogs that were mine permanently. And then a few years later, I opened the Gentle Barn where I could go out and not just take dogs and cats, but also farm animals that if we didn't take them in, they would be euthanized, bring them in, rehabilitate them, and then partner with them to work with people. And so we use veterinary care to heal our animals, but we also use acupuncture, massage therapy, chiropractic, music therapy, holding therapy, animal communication, of course, energy healing, which I also do, and nutritional supplements and lots of love. And then the animals get to live these beautiful lives. And when they have forgiven and they've trusted and they want to pay it forward, then they can choose to become an animal ambassador in one of our amazing animal assisted therapy programs. We have cow hug therapy, equine therapy, and barnyard therapy, where together with the animals, people can find a very unique brand of healing and hope. And my new book coming out on May 21st, available for pre-order right now as we speak, it's called Cow Hug Therapy.
Cow hug therapy. I like that one. I could hug a cow right now, not just for the meat and milk, but just for the moving experience.
Yes. So this is what it looks like. It's called Cow Hug Therapy, How the Gentle Barn Animals Taught Me About Life, Death, and Everything in Between. And it's the stories of these incredible animals, their recovery, their resilience, and what they taught me and share with all of us about meditation, gratitude, surrender, compassion fatigue, self-care, and recovering from grief. And all the best parts of me have been learned by animals. And so I'm so thrilled to share these stories with people.
Oh, that's so amazing. I'm ready to hug a cow right now as we speak here. So
it's the best.
Oh, yeah. And what are some of the other animals that you've taken in, or maybe like some more unusual ones that you've taken in?
Well, the Gentle Barn is home to horses, donkeys, cows, pigs, sheep, goats, chickens, turkeys, peacocks, llamas, emus, dogs, and alpacas. And I think the most unusual one has got to be our emu Earl. He is hilarious. He is basically just a giant Muppet version of a dinosaur. He has dinosaur feet. He has bright orange eyes. And every winter he becomes a flirt machine, and he circles around people and he follows them, and he becomes very flirtatious and charming. And he's really lovely.
Maybe he's that one from Liberty Mutual. Isn't that the one right there? Limu or something? So
that is an emu. Not our Earl, but yes, it is an emu.
Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. Makes you want to hug an emu as well, too. Bring those two together. I could see something like that. But of course, you know, you see a lot of animals. They're bright, they're fluffy, wonderful, but also cute as well, too. And of course, you know, people are like, oh, this is so cute, but maybe a bit of advice about, you know, some animals are cute, but then some may not turn out to be.
Well, I mean, yeah, they all have their different personalities. We have a turkey named Stellar. I call him Meep, but his real name is Stellar. And he was hatched here at the Gentle Barn. So we have a no breed policy, and we collect the turkey and chicken eggs. Because if we have room for a new animal, we're going to save one and not make one. But somehow his mom, Brave, eluded us. And by the time we discovered she had an egg, it was inhumane to take it away from her. So it was the first ever turkey hatched at the Gentle Barn and raised right here in the office. And he was a little teeny tiny fuzzy little guy. And he was so cute. And he would perch on our shoulders and sleep in our arms and come running for treats and sleep under his mom's wing. And he was absolutely precious. Well, 5 months later, he grew into a big, handsome male turkey. And wow. He puffs up his feathers and he walks around trying to get everybody to notice him and to tell him he's handsome. And every once in a while, he likes to go up to somebody and just pop him in the shoulder.
Well, don't do that around Thanksgiving, though. He'll take it the wrong way. So
no, he's always safe here at the Gentle Barn, but we definitely need to instill some better manners in him.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, they say that people would come with dogs and everything. And of course, you know, some people like one dog, two dogs, three dogs and everything like that. Maybe just a bit of advice, taking one dog is okay, or maybe two, three, four, or anything like that. And maybe a bit about that. Older dogs, younger dogs, and good choices, bad choices, everything like that.
I like to think of getting an animal like getting a kid. If you're home, if you're a stay-at-home parent and you have all the time in the world to exercise them and potty train them and give them individual attention, then I guess it's up to you to create that limit. Is it one dog, two dogs, three dogs? I mean, for 23 years, I had 8 dogs, but wow. I was home all the time. I hiked them twice a day. I was always observing what they were doing and there to support them. So it worked. But for the average person that's very busy and has a full-time job outside the home, obviously 8 dogs is a lot to handle. So like I said, if you're home and you have all the time and attention, then you can raise a lot of kids and you can really support them. And you can also handle puppies too, because you're home with an infant. But if you have a full-time job, then I would probably recommend that you not get a puppy, unless of course you're going to enroll that puppy in doggy daycare or have a full-time dog walker. Instead, I would suggest if you have a full-time job, getting 2 adult dogs. They can keep each other company, they can chill out while you're gone, and be happy to see you in the evening when you come home. It's all about making the right match. And I also want to say this. A lot of people have the notion that getting a puppy is more certain because you start at the beginning, you raise them from a baby, and the love and the trust would be more certain that way. But I want to let listeners know that animals change when they hit sexual maturity, just like teenagers do.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can have a lovable puppy, but number one, you don't know how big they're going to get. because even the, I mean, if they're a purebred, I guess you do, but if they're a mutt, you're not certain how big they're going to get. And once they hit sexual maturity, their personalities are going to change. So if you have elderly parents or young children and you need to rely on someone that's going to be gentle and maybe not so big, don't get a puppy, because with a puppy comes the element of surprise. Get an older dog that you know for sure is submissive. You know how big they're going to be. You know if they're good with kids or cats or dogs. If you have special circumstances, get an adult animal, because they're already fully formed and there'll be no surprises. If you don't have special needs or requirements and you're home and it really doesn't matter who they grow up to be, get a puppy.
I think that's a really good one, along with the coffee shop and everything. Give a coffee a puppy and everything be okay. And of course, I was thinking about the dogs as well too. There's certain breeds, certain personalities and everything, and you know, or some more compatible breeds and maybe some of the hard to handle breeds.
Okay, so here's the thing. Breed dictates physical attributes and energy level. Energy level. So if you get a pit bull, they're going to be the best cuddlers ever. If you get a working breed like an Australian Shepherd, you better be ready to hike, because that dog is got to have something to do. And if it's a purebred, you're going to know how big they're going to get. You're going to know basically the most common traits. However, what determines their actual personality is not breed, but whether they're submissive or dominant. You can get a dominant dog of any breed, like a golden retriever, like one of the best dogs with kids and best dogs with everybody and their love. If they're dominant, they are going to boss around a child. They are going to tell other dogs what to do. They are going to be prone to, maybe getting into fights because they're going to be dominant. And you can get a submissive dog of any breed. And if they're submissive, they're going to be safe at a dog park. They're going to be safe with kids and cats and other animals because they're going to be submissive in nature. And the best way to find this out is when you're assessing animals. If those animals hear a loud noise, the dominant dogs will run towards the noise and the submissive dogs will run away.
I like that point. Dominant run towards it, submissive away. I wish I learned that long time ago. That was a really good point.
Yeah. So if you're looking for a dog that's really, really good with kids or cats or other animals, it doesn't matter the breed. You want to find someone that's submissive. If you want to find someone that will make a good jogging companion, or a dog that's going to love playing ball, or a dog that's not going to grow over 25 pounds, then you want to look at the breed.
Okay. All right. That certainly makes sense. And of course, you being a matchmaker as well, too. And how do you match animals with people, animals with animals, animals with others? We'll find out just a minute with Ellie Locks of the Gentle Barn. You listen to the Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios, and brought to you by official sponsor, the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Moses, the Missing. We'll be back with the founder of Gentle Barn and animal matchmaker, animal communicator, Ellie Locks, after this time. We're back with My Gentle Barns, Ellie Locks on the Mike Wagner Show, animal communicator, healing expert, and more, and also a matchmaker as well, too. And of course, you know, you think of matchmaking, dating services, and everything like that. And of course, you know, not just pairing up animals with people, but animals with animals. And that's a really nice gift.
Yeah. So a lot of people will get their first cat or their first dog. And then after a while, they decide, well, maybe they want a companion. And sometimes it goes really well. Sometimes that animal is so receptive and the addition makes everyone happier and it works really well. Sometimes it does not work out because the first animal is jealous, or maybe the second animal is aggressive, or maybe there's some fear-related issues. It's not always a happy ending. So I would suggest that if you have an animal and you're thinking about getting another animal into your family, the first step is I would go to ellielocks.com and schedule a animal communication session. Let's ask your first animal if they even want a companion or who they want. Because sometimes they'll say, oh my God, I don't want another animal. I don't want to share the attention. I want mom to myself or dad. Other times they'll say, I would consider a companion, but I really don't want someone too big, or I don't want someone too bossy, or I don't want someone too playful. So get your first animal to even tell you if they want a companion and what companion they want. Once you've figured out that they do want a companion and who they want, then you can look at other animals and set up an introduction. It also helps if you're looking at the second animal to get an animal communication with them too, because your first animal might want to share their household, but that second animal might have some past trauma or some fear issues or some behavioral issues that they might come into the home and really disrupt it. So let's talk to those animals and make sure that emotionally they're compatible, and then move along to introduce them nice and slow. I would also recommend avoiding triggers like having toys and treats on the ground that they can fight over, feeding them in close proximity in the beginning, because you know you're getting to know them. You want to make
right,
sure that
right territory, everything like that. That's understandable too. It's like, you know, give them, you know, their own separate bowls, separate water dishes, separate, you know, whatever too, litter boxes, toys, everything like that. And even for like backyard, their own space.
Yes, they need their own space and they need a lot of bonding time. New animals really need a lot of time to adjust because you don't always know where they come from and what they've been through. Now, of course, animal communication can help you because we can ask the animal where they've been before you met them. And then they can let you know what they've been through, what their triggers are, and what they're working through. So that's really, really helpful. But a lot of people take in new animals and they think, oh my God, there's going to be harps and violins playing and it's going to be love at first sight. And sometimes it is love at first sight. And other times it takes 3 to 4 months for that animal to settle in, recover from what they are going through, learn to trust you, and adapt to your routine. So they're not two-dimensional objects. They're just as alive and full of personality as you and me. Give them time. Don't have those high expectations at first. Bring them in, get them used to you, talk to them, love them, give them the time that they need, and that relationship can blossom into a love affair of all ages.
That is a perfect way to have a nice relationship. So if you have a cat, and of course, you know, barking up the right tree, the dog as well, too. That's beyond the wolf right there. So... Oh, that's great. And where can we find My Gentle Barn, the Gentle Barn Foundation, and where can we find all your works at?
Well, people can check out the Gentle Barn by going to gentlebarn.org. They can press visit and see and find a location nearest them and sign up for coming out on an open to the public Sunday, coming out for a private tour or a field trip, or a cow hug therapy or one of our other therapies. They can find us on all social media platforms, including YouTube, by just going to The Gentle Barn on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube. People can donate to help us rescue even more animals and heal more hurting humans. And people can do something really fun, actually. They can go to the website, gentlebarn.org, press animals, and they can see the majority of our animals' faces and read their stories and pick an animal that really stands out to them and then sponsor them once a month. And in exchange, get a new picture and an update of how they're doing each month and feel like they have an intimate relationship with a horse, a cow, a pig, a chicken, a turkey, an emu.
And of course, there's always cat pictures thanks to Instagram as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, we can find all that at gentlebarn.org. We're here with Ellie Locks of the Gentle Barn and the Animal Matchmaker here on the Mike Wagner Show. Just a few more things, Ellie. And what else can we expect in 2024 and beyond?
What am I expecting in 2024?
Correct. Yes.
Well, I don't know about what I'm expecting, but I know what I'm praying for. I am hoping and praying and dreaming of a more peaceful world where animals can be heard and seen and respected. They can be free to fall in love and raise and nurture their babies. And we can have a kinder humanity that really sees animals for who they are.
Mm-hmm. And certainly indeed as well. Who do you consider biggest influence in your career?
Every animal that I've ever been honored and privileged to meet. They have all made me the person I am today, and they've all taught me huge life lessons.
And certainly indeed. What's the best advice you can give to anybody at this point?
Be gentle. Be kind. We're all the same, even though we look different.
Mm-hmm. And be perfect as well. And certainly indeed. Well, once again, we're with Ellie Locks of the book My Gentle Barn, also Animal Matchmaker and founder of The Gentle Barn here on The Mike Wagner Show. Ellie, a very big thank you for your time. You've been absolutely fantastic. Learned a lot from you. Looking forward to having you again soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. Love having you back. And once again, what's your website? How do people contact you? Where can people purchase a book? Check out your works. And how can we help?
So go to gentlebarn.org, but also people can book an animal communication session, read more about how it works, and find my book at ellielax.com.
ellielax.com. We'll certainly check that out. Once again, Ellie, a very big thank you for your time. You've been absolutely amazing. Looking forward to having you again soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. We'd love to have you back. Wish you all the best. And Ellie, you definitely have a great future. Have you?
Thank you for having me.